Well, let's open the book of Acts chapter 16. Those who are listening by other means, give us a call if you can at 856-261-9018, or give us an email, questions@bftbc.org. We're in Acts chapter 16, and last time we stopped at verse number 37. Let's read verse 38, 39, and 40 together. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them, and brought them out, and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out to the prison, and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them, and departed. Chapter 16 basically talks about what general thing? What is it? Paul and Silas in prison. What city was it they were in prison in? Yes, Pastor Dan.
Philippi,
all right. And so, what happened in that prison situation? What was the result?
The jailer,
Was saved, that's number one.
And
his house, Trust of Christ, and made believers. What else happened?
They were baptized.
That's right. What else, even before that? There's an earthquake. What happened after the earthquake?
The
prisoners fell off. What else?
They didn't run away.
I know. Jail's going to kill himself. And what about the
doors were open?
The doors were open. And what did the jailer think happened?
They ran away.
Was he right or wrong?
He was wrong.
Pastor Dan?
Before the chains fell off, they were praying, they were singing praises to the Lord.
What time of day was it?
Midnight.
Yeah. That's right. So, let's pick it up. If we look at verse number 35, what time of day was it when the magistrates came in? The leaders of the city.
In the morning.
See, it was midnight, early morning. What did the magistrates say to do?
Let them go.
Let them go. And then in verse 36, what did the keeper tell Paul and Silas?
Magistrate,
let them go.
And
therefore depart. Well, apparently they had done the job and that was the end of it. Oh, by the way, why were Paul and Silas imprisoned?
Damsel was delivered from the evil spirit,
and the damsel was making money for her keepers, her owners, and so they just said that's horrible, put them in prison. Well, then in verse 38, the sergeants told what to the magistrates? What did they tell the magistrates?
They were Roman citizens.
They heard they're Roman citizens. Because Paul told them they're Roman citizens, Paul and Silas. In verse 37, they had beaten us openly, uncondemned. Now, what was the Roman law about beating? Tried first, Pastor Dan? Yeah, that's right. They had to had a trial, and once they're guilty, then they go ahead and they lay stripes on them, but had no trial. Uncondemned, and cast into prison. And what was Paul's question in verse 37? Sort of rhetorical question. What was his question?
They thrust us out secretly.
So then what was Paul's order to the jailer, as if a prisoner could order a jailer? What did he say to the jailer?
No.
What did he say? What's the situation? Let them come. And fetch up. Personally, they've got to come down themselves, lower themselves down, magistrates and rulers and sergeants and so on. And in verse 39, what did happen?
The sergeants went with the magistrates of the
fed. Okay, and now they came. Who's the they, do you think, referred to?
Verse
39.
39?
Yeah, 39.
38.
38. What did the sergeants... Pardon me?
Did we go over this
stuff? No, we stopped at 37, see.
Oh, okay.
But we're just sort of reviewing, see. Now we started 38, 39, 40 for this week, see.
Okay.
So 37, so the sergeants told the words to the magistrates. What was the reaction of the magistrates when they heard this?
They were afraid.
Why were they afraid?
They broke the law.
They beat them without condemning, without having a trial before, and they feared when they heard they were Romans. And then in verse 39, did the magistrates come to the prison?
Yes.
That's what Paul said. If they want to have us sent out, bring them, let them come down and tell us about it. So they Referring to what in verse 39?
The magistrate.
The magistrate came, and what does besought mean? They begged them. They really, please, please, please. They besought them. And what did they do then? Brought them out and desired them to leave the city. Get out of here. And don't tell anybody, see. And then, in verse 40, did they agree to go out?
They went to
the city. All right. But did they go out of the prison?
Yeah.
They left the prison. Who was Lydia again?
Seller of purple.
And that was a cheap cloth or what?
No,
very expensive. So she was a very well-to-do woman, perhaps. And she was very friendly to the member. That's where Paul went to Philippi. And there was prayer meeting out there in the seaside or wherever it was. And she invited them into their home. They came into her home. So went to the house of Lydia. And what does it mean in verse 40 when they'd seen the brethren? Who do you suppose the brethren were there?
Other believers.
Maybe they were having a prayer meeting at Lydia's house. First it was out on the seashore, or wherever it was, remember? But now it's in her house. And said the brethren, what did they do when they... Who's the they refer to here in verse 40? They.
The people at Lydia's house.
Okay, now you said the ones in prison, at Lydia's house. Now that's a difference of opinion. What do you think it is? Who's the they, the first part of verse 40? They went out of the prison. And they entered the house. When they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed.
They had been staying at Lydia's house.
That's right. That's right. Make it simple. Who's the them?
Paul and
the brethren. Now it says Paul, now it says the brethren. We're divided again. What?
Does he kill him?
No. They comforted them and departed. Who departs? Oh, maybe that's the easier one. Paul and Silas departed. We got that straight. Comforted them and departed. So who do you think that them might be?
Paul the brethren.
Paul the brethren. Still divided. Okay.
But the brethren had stayed at Lydia's house.
Okay.
Why would they have to be comforted, the other ones? Wouldn't Paul be the one that seems there?
Okay, Tammy, what's your...
Well, they could have even been distressed because Paul and Silas were in prison.
That's true. That's true. They were distressed, the brethren. They knew Paul and Silas were in prison and jail. They probably had a prayer meeting for them.
They wanted them to stay and teach them, and they're leaving.
Well, they entered the house, and when they seen the brethren, apparently they were upset, as Tammy said. The brethren were upset. They don't know what happened to these people. They were beaten. They were in chains and fetters, and they needed a little comforting. So maybe they would be Paul and Silas, comforted them, that is the brethren, and then they departed. In other words, Paul and Silas departed. So it's a mix-up thing. And we have different sides of the story, and who knows what the real picture is, but it seems like that might be the best way.
They could have comforted each other.
They could have comforted each other, that's right. Both sides would have equal time. Okay. All right, any other comments on chapter 16 before we move on to 17?
Did you say feathers?
Pardon me?
You said feathers? You said they were in feathers? Wait a minute.
In fetters. And chains.
Oh, they were in fetters and chains. Yeah, fetters and chains.
Oh, I thought you said fetters, like a bird.
No, fetters.
Oh, fetters.
Fetters. Yeah, yeah.
I think they're like tar and fetters.
Oh, no, it's fetters and
right,
shackles and chains.
Right.
Any other comments on 16 before I move on to 17?
All right.
Let's go on to 17. Acts chapter 17. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Just say hello. Questions or anything else you have to say. Let's read Acts 17. What do I title this chapter 17?
Ignorantly
worshiping an unknown God. Is that a good idea to worship an unknown God?
No.
Because unknown, why are you...
Except if it's the true God.
If it's the true God. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
So this is the step in the right direction, I suppose. They knew there was unknown God. They didn't know who it was, so they didn't want to miss anybody.
All right.
But see, Paul had declared to them who the unknown God was.
Right.
The actual true.
Right.
And one only God. The one and only God.
It was unknown to them at the time, but they're worshiping other gods. But Paul gave them the real God, the only true God.
I mean, he had all these idols there.
Yeah.
On Mars still.
Right.
And there was one idol that says the unknown God. But they didn't want to leave anybody out, so they had this
right
anonymous idol for an anonymous God.
Right.
And
And Paul's words were what?
Give me anyone to worship.
Yeah. Then what's the next part?
I will declare unto you.
That's right. The unknown God. So that was his background. All right. Let's read 1, 2, and 3 together. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. There was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Right, when they, who's the they referred to in verse 1? Paul and Silas, not the brethren. Okay, got that clear. That's very clear. Okay. When Paul and Silas passed through Amphipolis, all right, let's see if we can find Amphipolis. Came to Thessalonica. Thessalonica's here. Apollonia's here. Amphipolis is here. See? Philippi, Amphipolis, Apollonia. So they came here. I don't know. Here and all, like, it makes it going like this.
So that's not in Greece then?
Well, that's in Macedonia. That's Greece. Yeah, that's Greece.
That's
Greece. Macedonia is northern Greece and southern Greece. I guess that whole thing is sort of Greece.
It's a province of
Progress. Well, this is Europe. This whole thing is the continent of Europe. Continent of Europe, but the countries, Macedonia and Greece. So Philippi, Amphipolis, Apollonia, and Thessalonica. So that's where they are right now. Here's Berea. Or Perea. Now Thessalonica. They passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia. Came to Thessalonica. What was there in Thessalonica?
Synagogue.
So, what is a synagogue?
Church.
So it's a gathering place where Jewish people worship. How many required to have a synagogue?
10.
What kind of people were they?
Jewish.
Men or women?
Men.
They're male. 10 men could form a synagogue. See, we don't know how big this synagogue was, little or small, large or big, but there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then in verse number 2, what does it mean, Paul, as his manner was? What's that mean, as his manner was? He usually did this. And what was his manner? First of all, he did what? He went to the Jews and went, first of all, in verse 12, he went what? Went into them. And right there into that synagogue. And how long did he stay? What is a Sabbath? What does that mean? That Sunday?
Saturday.
They stayed for 3 weeks. 3 Saturdays and 2 full weeks at least.
Is that Friday after Sunday?
Yeah, after Sunday. Friday after Sunday. Yeah, the Jewish
Friday
Sabbath.
Friday is Sabbath Eve, correct?
Yeah, Friday at 6 p.m.
for
Jews.
Did he
stay there for 3 weeks
in the synagogue?
Yeah, well, in that area. He didn't sleep there, but I mean, he was there. Now let me, Stephen explains what he did the 3 Sabbaths. What does it say he did for 3 Sabbaths? He reasoned with them. Who's the them? The Jews. How did he reason with them? The Scripture, not simply his ideas and philosophy and all this, but it's from the Scriptures. What does it mean to reason with somebody?
Deal with them.
Teach them, ask their questions, you know, think through things and so on, reason.
Meaning of
the
minds.
Just like what we're doing here.
Just like we're doing here, that's right, we're talking about the Scriptures. Yes, Eddie?
A meaning of the minds.
Meaning of the minds.
So then he would be using the Old Testament?
Probably the Old Testament, that's right, Old Testament. And but he knew, who trained Paul? First of all, before he was saved, who trained him?
Gamaliel.
After he was saved, who trained him? Lord Jesus Christ. Where did he train him? Backside of this. Was that a big building out there?
No.
Was that a school that was recognized? Was it accredited?
So where was he trained?
On the desert, the back desert. Who trained him? Who was the teacher?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ was the teacher. So the Lord accredited himself. It wasn't that's interesting. Now how many pupils were there in the school? Just one. It was one on one. Now would that be frowned upon today? Would that be considered a tremendous school with only one student and one teacher? We would think it was good. But I mean, in the normal world, if you said, here's a school, I want you to go to this school, there's one teacher and there's only one student, would the world generally think that type of a school today would be great? Now, they got to have big, big, big. But the Lord Jesus, did he train him well or subtly? He trained him well. The Lord Jesus trained him well. So reason out of the scriptures. Do you think the Lord Jesus ever told Paul about the Old Testament scriptures that pointed to him?
Yes,
he did. Are there any scriptures that do point to the Lord in the Old Testament?
Yes,
Old Testament scriptures point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, Tammy.
The Lord pointed to the scriptures himself when he
reflected. Yes.
All the time,
as it is written, as it is written, as it is written. Old Testament quotes Hebrew scriptures all the time. Yes.
The application of this would be that we should be studying the scriptures with the Lord and in the Word itself.
That's
not
right.
Not just, you know, with everything.
Listening to somebody else. Yes, our self personal instruction. That's exactly right. So, reasoning for three Sabbath days out of the scriptures. Now, in verse number 3, what is some of his subject matter? What was his subject matter here in verse 3? What does opening mean and alleging? What does alleging mean?
A what?
Alleging. Opening and alleging. Alleging.
That means you're not sure if somebody did it or not. They allegedly.
Well, that's sometimes. That's right. But in this case, to allege something, it means what?
He's trying to lead you
to
the
suggesting to him.
Demonstrating,
alleging. In other words, he's telling people that's what his allegation is. He'll prove it later, but at least he's saying very clearly, opening and alleging. Yes, Ma?
Is alleging the same as pledging allegiance to the flag?
That's pledging. That's pledging. This is alleging. Now, I realize allegation, if you make an allegation.
Allegiance.
Allegiance, yes. Allegiance, yeah, alleging. I guess so. Now, allegiance in that case means what? Adherence, the pledge of allegiance to the flag. Now, you adhere to it, you agree with it, you
well, he was presenting, yeah.
Presenting, yes. To present. Now, what was the topic that he presented the first part in verse 3?
That the Lord Jesus suffered and died and rose again.
The first thing, what does it mean he needs his suffering? He had to. Without his suffering on the cross, what would happen to all the sins of the world and all the sinners of the world? They remain sinners, they remain and go to hell and would not be saved. But needs has suffered. Now, where did he suffer?
On the cross
of Calvary. Needs had to suffer. Now, what do the moderns say about why Christ died? What do they think he died for? What are some of the theories of the crucifixion?
Just to be a good example.
That's exactly right. A lot of the moderns say, we heard just somebody this last week. I don't know where it was. We either read it or heard about it. These ministers that are unbelievers, they deny. Somebody told me this. I don't know who it was. They deny that Christ died for the sins of the world. He just died just as a good man, a martyr, to people look up to, and what a wonderful leader. That's the only way that just as a martyr, some good.
They don't believe he was the Son of God?
Oh, no. These modernist liberals don't believe he's the Son
of God. And that's why you said there were ministers.
Oh, some ministers don't believe in anything. You know that, Eddie.
I know.
Are apostates. Yeah, Bill.
I'll tell you, boy.
If Jesus didn't die for the sins of the world, why was it recorded that he did die at all or that he even lived?
That's right. Well, they make up all kinds of excuses why he died. What should we turn to tell us exactly why he died?
The Bible,
the scriptures. We can't make up our own theories.
Yeah.
We've got to read the scriptures and see what the scriptures tell us why he died on the cross.
Yes, Eddie? 3:16.
Let's say it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And also 1 Peter 2:24 tells, who is, speaking of Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. He bore our sins, carried our sins. That's why he died. We've got to go to the Bible. The Bible. So, the first allegation, Christ must needs have suffered. What's the second thing he taught them in this class?
Rose.
What do you think type of resurrection means? Yeah, that word anastasis, two Greek words. Ana means what?
Up.
Stasis, to stand. Histe means standing up. Upstanden, that's the German for it. And I remember I've told you many times before, we had an unsaved, godless professor of sociology at the University of Michigan. He was sort of like a communist. And I thought he was all right, and I got fouled up a little bit too. I got straightened out later. But at least he said this correctly. He said, there are many of these ministers and preachers that don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead bodily. And even though he's an unbeliever, he thought that was crazy. He said that very word for resurrection in German, Aufstehen, is standing up. That's what the word resurrection means, to stand up.
And when German?
German. Aufstehen is German. Aufstehen is German. Yeah.
German.
Yeah. But that's the very. Anyway.
Was he German?
He might have been. I don't know.
What? How do you know the German?
Well, I don't know what it was. What was his name? Sellers. His name was Sellers. I can't think of his first name. Dr. Sellers. S-E-L-L-A-R-S. Evan? What's that? What's that, Steve? Peter? Peter Sellers? I don't know. What's it, Evan?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The philosophy
of the sociology.
Yeah.
Roy Wood Sellers, that's it. Roy Wood, I don't know how I remember that, 65 years ago. Roy Wood, that's a lot of things I forget, but I haven't remembered. What's that?
It doesn't sound German.
No, probably not German.
No, it's not. This was but that
freshman. I took that when I was just a freshman. I was going to be a doctor of medicine, a medical doctor, so I took some sociology courses, or maybe it was after I turned to pre-theological. At the, I had that it was afterwards, I guess, sociology, and he told me all about how horrible the capitalism was. I mean, he was selling socialism to his students. I bought a lot of it. I got straightened out after I went to Dallas and talked about Dan Smoot. But he was, and that's what they're teaching. That was way back in the 50s and 60s. Today it's even worse. Socialism and communism are the way to go. But I got straightened out, but he was an absolute Marxist. And people did this, nodded their head, and I didn't know any difference. My dad never told me. My dad was a capitalist. He was a chemical engineer. He knew all of the things, but he never told us about anything. He never talked. Yeah, Bill?
Well, no, you already said what I was going to say. They still teach it.
They still teach it, that's right. Anyhow, how did we get off of that? Yeah, that was it. Yeah, Roy Wood Sellers.
We're talking about risen.
Yeah, you know, he said this is stupid and crazy. Risen means stand up, standing up. And that means you've got to stand up. It's got to be a bodily. See? So he, even though he's an unbeliever...
He wasn't floating.
He wasn't just his spirit. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
Hello, church. My Bible's open, and I'm following along with you. Thank you, Jim Canada.
Jim Canada. This way to Jim Canada in Massachusetts. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that very much. Okay, Rob Winograd from Chicago. Go ahead, Rob.
Okay, Pastor. Robert Sellers was an American philosopher of critical realism and religious humanism and a proponent of emergent evolution.
Say that again, because we couldn't all hear.
He taught at the University of Michigan. He had drafted the Humanist Manifesto in 1933 and signed the Humanist Manifesto 2 in 1973. And I'll mail that along to Dan.
Just think, Roy Wood Sellers. Now, read that once again, please, because I'd like to remember. I didn't even know that myself. Roy Wood Sellers. I got his name right. Go ahead.
He was an American philosopher of critical realism and religious humanism and a proponent of emergent evolution. He taught much of his career at the University of Michigan, and then it says he had a 67 book on materialism. And he helped draft the Humanist Manifesto in 1933 and also signed the Humanist Manifesto 2 in 1973.
Very good, thanks.
He's a bald guy, it looks like.
He's what?
Bald.
Boy, you're bald.
Yeah.
That's right. I didn't remember what he looked like, but I remember what he said. Well, let's wave to Rob. Thank you, Rob. Thank you. Roy Wood Sellers. Roy Wood, he's going to send it to Pastor Dan. Roy Wood Sellers. And I was one of his pupils.
Right.
I wasn't a humanist, but I mean, he was teaching that whole nonsense to us. Horrible. I'm glad God straightened me out. Humanist, yeah, Anna.
Alleging religions.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to figure out the etymology. Good. And there seems to be a dispute as to whether and how closely related they are. But allegiance seems to come from the French, and allegation seems to come from the Latin.
Good.
So I didn't track it down very far, but so
So there's a disagreement about how close they're related. Some say they're not related at all. Some say they're slightly related.
Very good. Thank you for that checkup. Always glad to have checkup. Right. So the first thing that he taught was Christ must needs have suffered. Secondly, he rose from the dead bodily. Yeah, fine, okay.
Well, I remember after we were married a long time later, you told me that you were a communist.
I was just about communist.
Yeah, I did not marry a communist.
From the University of Michigan. until I went to Dallas Theological Seminary, Dan Smoot of Facts Forum began to teach. Well, you know, I believe what this guy, Ray Wood Sellers, told me, see?
How did you believe that?
Well, I was just a stupid student. Aren't professors always telling the truth?
Yeah,
see, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Students are brainwashed into believing what's taught by these people.
Because they think they know.
They think they know, absolutely.
Because they were saying that we don't want the really rich and we don't want the really poor.
Yeah.
They were saying that, you know, everybody's going to be the same, which isn't true.
That's right.
They were pushing it down people's throats.
Yes, you see, that was University of Michigan. I went there from 1945 to 48, 3 years. Took the 4 years and three, and it was a terrible situation.
Did your father know?
He probably didn't know anything about it. He went to the University of Michigan, so he sent me there and paid for the tuition and everything else. He thought it was a good school for engineering, so I went there. But I'm glad that I switched, and I got majored in classical Greek. Classical Greek and Latin, see, and took other subjects. But anyway, I was gullible in accepting some of the things that this professor taught. And I didn't know any truth, had no facts until I was just, you know, I was 17.
Oh, yeah.
Just a baby, see?
Yeah,
just a young baby. I'm 87. How many years ago was that? 70 years ago.
I graduated sixth grade, wait a minute. Oh, yeah.
Have I learned anything in 70 years?
No.
No.
I thought you were always conservative.
No, my dad never told us anything. Bill first, and then we're going.
What students learn in college, they tend to look at their professors as if they are all known.
Yes.
Unfortunately, many of the Bible teachers in college are teaching people that the critical Greek text is the correct text to use.
Right.
They try to push aside the Steve text.
Right.
This distinction is very important, and a lot of students are very wrongly because of that.
That's what I was taught at the Dallas Theological Seminary, the wrong Greek text. Anna?
Well, I'm a student, and I feel like the more I learn, the more I realize how much there is to learn and how little fortunately I have learned. And so then by the time you get to have the doctorate, I would think that you feel like you know nothing at all. So I don't understand why I'm confused about why people think they're
You're confused about people who think they know it all when they just know a tiny bit. But, yes, Steve.
I've been going here for 5 months now. This is the most toughest class I had yet.
Now, my wife asked a question.
I'm more confused than I am by walking the door. We're going to cover off. I don't know, you know what's happening.
No, we're going to get there. My wife asked me how did Facts Forum and Dan Smoot straighten me out. You see, Facts Forum in Dallas.
The richest man in the world.
Yeah. H.L. Hunt was a millionaire. He said, all right, we want to get Facts Forum. Want both sides. He had Mr. Dan Smoot, who's a Christian man, by the way. Dan Smoot, he had to have both sides, the negative side and the positive side, the truth and the false side. In fact, after a while, I talked to Mr. Smoot, and I went up to speak, and I said, why don't you just sell the truth? What happened to you? But anyhow, but this and that, so he instructed. And so I was a pupil, and I listened and straightened me out on this whole idea of Marxism and communism and free enterprise. It's amazing. So anyway, but let's get back to what Steve is talking about. Oh, excuse me, Anna, go ahead. Go ahead, Anna. That's what discussion is.
I
Go ahead. Sometimes rabbit trails. Go ahead, Anna.
Sometimes businesses get kind of big, and then the little businesses get pushed aside, but then it doesn't seem like communism, but it doesn't seem like free trade either.
Right. All right, back to Steve's subject here on this verse number 3. First thing he preached to the synagogue was Christ had to suffer. Secondly, he had to rise from the dead. What's the third thing he preached in verse 3?
Jesus is Christ.
Whom I preach. What does Christ mean in Greek and in Hebrew?
Messiah.
In the Old Testament Hebrew, Messiah. Messiah. In the Greek, what's it? Christos, the anointed one. So he's the Messiah, the anointed one of God. And so he wanted these Jews. Now, did they originally believe that Jesus was the Messiah?
No.
No. Do the Jews today, most of them think that Jesus is the Messiah?
Some do.
A lot of them, most of them do not, do they? They're looking for a Messiah to come. And they will meet that accept. Now, one day they will accept Christ during the tribulation period. But, yeah, Bill.
The Jews today believe that the Messiah is going to be human. He is not God in Christ. They believe that he is totally human, he's going to be a prophet, and he's going to lead them, but it's because they continue to ignore Isaiah 53 and
yes.
Psalm 119 and other parts of the Old Testament. They always skip over that because they don't want to admit that Jesus Christ is God.
That's right. Let's read verse number 4, 5, and 6 together. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." All right, verse 4. What was the result of Paul's teaching and ministry, according to verse 4?
Some.
Does that mean all? No, just some. And what does it mean to believe? What kind of belief is that? Just to the head?
The heart.
The heart. What do you think? Do you think they believed all three of these things that Paul taught them? Remember, he had 3 points to his sermon. What was the first point?
He suffered.
What's the second point?
He rose from the dead.
And third point?
And that
he is Christ, the Messiah. And they believe. They believe these things. What does consorted mean?
Gathered
together. And accompanied them and went with them, Paul and Silas. Now, of the devout Greeks, what does devout mean?
Godly.
Godly, probably. Interesting. How many of them believed?
Great
multitude. Then of the chief women, what does it mean? Not a few. What does not a few mean?
Quite a few.
Chief women. Who do you think the chief women might refer to? Lydia was one, and some of the leaders of the city. Well, maybe a different city. Yeah, that's right. But there would be a Lydia type of people. Lydia type of people. The chief women. So maybe important women. Maybe they were some sort of stenographers. I don't know what they were, but they were chief women, whatever the chief means. They think they were fire chief?
No, maybe married to important men.
Chief women? No. Okay. No, they're married to well-respected men, probably. Chief women, not a few. Then in verse number 5, what does this word but mean? Why is that there? But
contrast
and negative contrast, adversative conjunction. The Jews which believed not. What does that mean? There were some that they did not receive the truth, didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, didn't believe he suffered, didn't believe he rose from the dead. What did they do because they didn't believe?
They were
moved with envy, jealous. And what did they do then? What kind of people did they take? Lead, evil, root of the baser sort, the lowest sort they could get, or the riffraff of the people. And then what did they say?
Is that what the lewd and baser sort mean?
Yeah, probably a low down, immoral type of sort, probably a baser sort.
and they gathered a company. What does that mean?
A whole bunch of people.
And all the city, what did they do to the city?
Started
a riot, an uproar. And what did they do to the house of Jason? What does it mean to assault?
Attack,
that's right. See, all these, the bases are knocked down the door. And what in verse 7, what did they try to do in verse 5? Sought, what does sought means?
They tried
to bring him out. Well, he's a Christian that they were living in his house. He invited this house, we'll see a little bit later, next few verses, to bring out to the people. What people do you want to bring him out to?
To the bad people.
Not the bad people. Another, he went to the bad people, not the good people, not the ones that believe, but these that were in uproar, many of the Jews who rejected Christ. Well, so that's number, let's stop right here at this verse number 5, and we'll stick up, Lord willing, next Thursday, number 6. Do you have any comments or questions? Yeah, reread it at home. And we'll see how many people view this one. You know, this Acts. We have these other people viewing it. Maybe they won't view it because we got off on different subjects. We'll see what happens.
It was a very interesting story.
Okay.
It reminds me of the Old Testament where the they tried to bring out the baser sword.
Oh, yes.
And the angels that had come into the house.
Yes, yes, the homosexuals, the sodomites. Could be sodomites, these baser swords.
That's what I like about this class. You would never get this in church, in a big church.
No. We talk and we visit, and that's what discussion is.
And make jokes.
Occasionally make jokes.
Yeah,
the chief of... He's not the fire chief. He could be the chief of police. All right. Now, any other comments or questions before we close? Our other day we're just standing. Oh, excuse me. Yes.
I forgot to say, she continued to pray for Cass. She's getting better.
Oh, yes. Mrs. Weber is getting better. She had pneumonia. And she said, stay in bed or stay in the house for about 4 or 5 days. So she'll see if she can come out Sunday. We hope she can. So we'll continue to pray for her. Brother David, stand and close in a word of prayer.
Yes,
we appreciate it.
Yeah.
Appreciate.
Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for Cass to help her and learn. We thank thee for this time together that we could learn your word. I thank thee that these things are really brought out, and that we can know the truth, and that it can stick into our minds as we go over this. And we thank you so much for Dr. Waite and for what he knows, and that he can teach it to us. And I pray that you would bless us and help us to get closer to the Lord Jesus, and to be able to remember your word and be able to use it to teach other people. I pray that you would guide us today. Each person is here, Lord, that each person that has problems or difficulties, I pray that you would answer our prayers, Lord.
Yes.
And I pray that you would guide us as we go, that your Holy Spirit may go with us in a special way. And I pray that you would fill us with yourself, Lord, and help us to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming.
I bought donuts and a donut.
No, thank you. 36 years?
I don't know why to do with this.